The order of service is printed for you in your bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, I announce the grace of God to all of you. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. It is He who remembered us in our low estate. And rescued us from our foes.
For His steadfast love endures forever.
He who gives food to all flesh.
For His steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of heaven. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
Lord,
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in your deep compassion, you rescued us from whatever may hurt us. Teach us to love you above all things and to love our neighbors as ourselves. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. Our first lesson is actually going to be the text for our sermon today, and we'll look at that a little bit in detail later. From Leviticus chapter 18 and chapter 19. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived, and you shall not do as they did in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does not does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your fields right up to the edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes in your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of our God, of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block for the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not do injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, for in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against your sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Their voice has gone out to all the earth. The epistles from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Please rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel from Luke chapter 10. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Amen. Our next hymn is 848. Please, you may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Amen. When you come to a service as I do today as a visitor, I don't know what the pastors have preached on, what text they have used in previous weeks. But I do know a few things about this particular time of the year. We're in Luke's Gospel for the Gospel reading. It's in Luke. And you've heard portions of chapter 8 and 9, and then now we're hearing chapter 10. Then last week, Jesus was sending and receiving back his disciples. You remember he sent them on mission trip. And then next week, you're going to hear about Mary and Martha. So these are the way the services come together so that they have a round feature about it. You'll begin to see exactly how this all fits together. Jesus responds today with the parable of the Good Samaritan when the rich ruler said, well, who's my neighbor? That's a dangerous thing to ask because the Lord will tell you who your neighbor is. And sometimes you don't want to know it, don't we? I'd like you to open your Bibles, if you would, because I have to go a little different place here. We're going to be in Leviticus 19. If you'll open your Bibles in the pews there, just reach out and grab one. We're on page 97. 97, that's Leviticus. Leviticus 19, 97. Well, Leviticus 19 is a speech that God commanded Moses to speak to his people. He's to speak this to the people of Israel and begins with these words. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Throughout this whole section in Leviticus, you keep hearing, I am the Lord your God, or I am the Lord. There's so much to see in this whole passage that we cannot cover at all. But we're going to focus on that part of the speech that connects us to the gospel reading of the Good Samaritan. Listen to verse 11 through 18. I've got it printed out here. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of the Lord, of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain him all night until the morning. Pay him today. He needs the money today. You do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not do injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. And you will not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you will not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Then we want to look down at 33, at verse 33. This becomes a passage that's going to be something we'll talk about today. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord, your God. And then he ends the speech at verse 37 that Moses is giving to the people. He says, you shall observe all my statutes and all my rules and do them. I am the Lord. I am holy, says God, so you are to be holy as well. What does that mean? That whole strict passage there teach us that God provides holiness to his people. God provides the holiness. In chapter 17 through 26, how God's people made holy by him live holy lives. That passage speaks to you and speaks to me today. Let's talk about that. God's holiness makes holy people who live holy lives in holy love. Kind of put that all together, and the holiness of God is what makes His people holy. You know, God alone is holy. We know that. Repeatedly He says in Leviticus, hear the words of God and be holy. And we misunderstand this sometimes. We think that God is making a demand to you to be holy. Actually, what He's doing, He knows His people cannot make themselves holy, so God has to declare them holy. He has to make them holy. That's the way you want to hear this, that God is not making demands on you, but that you should live as God's holy people. God alone is holy, and the New Testament says the same thing. God calls you now to be holy as well. In Matthew's gospel, passages Matthew 5. Therefore, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. How do you like that? And then in 1 Peter 1. But he who called you is holy, and you also be holy in all your conduct, since it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Peter's epistle. And then Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he says, God has not called us to impurity, but to holiness. Now, what happens in many churches, they get this messed up, and I don't want us to get it messed up, is that we think that God is making a demand on you and me, and the reality is that in our own human nature, we're not able to do the things that God has asked us to do and demands for us to do. The good news is, as Paul writes in the Ephesians, which Luther loves so much, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that you cannot boast. And then Romans is another passage that Luther loves so much. We hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. We're holy by God's grace alone. That's what makes us holy. And then we're holy also by faith alone, because we trust that God is doing these things in our lives. How can that be? Also, by Christ only. By Christ alone. By faith, by grace, by Christ alone. That's the way God makes us holy people. He does this in your daily life. He does it in mine. He works on me. God makes us holy. He gives us a holy life to live. He gives us the holy death of Christ Jesus, His Son. And as for the Israelites, God provides holiness for you. You remember when we went through catechism, you remember the third article of the Apostles' Creed, which we just recited a few minutes ago. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. But do you remember with the passage when Luther said, well, what does that mean? And Luther writes, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. Can't do it. But the Lord has called me by the gospel. The Holy Spirit's done that. Called me by the gospel. Given me His gifts. What is it? It's baptism, the Lord's Supper, the Word of God that you hear today, our singing, our worship. God does that for us. That's how God makes us holy people. The Holy Spirit is at work when our gospel and when our Christian faith is being exercised today. The sacraments are provided by God. You didn't invent baptism. I didn't either. You didn't invent the Lord's Supper. I didn't either. The church didn't invent the Lord's Supper. Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. Because it's God's holiness that makes you holy. And as holy people with holy lives, you love your neighbor with a holy love. Now, in parts of that chapter 17 to 26, you can't go through all of it. We won't be able to do that. But it does focus on our lives with other people. Here's what it looks like. Not stealing, not bearing false witness against your neighbor, you know, not lying. You know all those things. That's the way you're supposed to live in your daily life, right? Not swearing falsely by God's name. By God, this, that, and bigger. No, you don't do that. You're not oppressing your neighbor or robbing him. The list goes on and on, but it culminates with this. Holy people do not bear grudges. Holy people do not bear grudges. Holy people love their neighbor as they love themselves. That's our challenge today. Along with loving God, he summarizes this all together as God's people, his holy people, living holy lives. In our society today, it's very hard to find among the news and stuff people who are living holy lives. You get dismayed after a while. You see all of the hurt and harm that people can inflict on one another. What is with this world? Well, what is happening to us? Well, it may be coming to an end. I don't know. But we are to love our neighbor. We are to love the one who speaks ugly about us. We're to love our neighbor and turn the other cheek. Now, verse 33 in that Leviticus 19:33, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. So you shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, and you shall love him as you love yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Well, we live awful close to the border, don't we? I think I did a quick look at how far Harlingen away, 3 or 4 hours away. We're very close, and there are, I guess, millions of people who are not documented coming to our country. Now, that's not going to stop. It doesn't look like any of that's going to happen under the present administration. I'm just saying that's the facts. So what are we to think about all these people who have come into our country? Some bad people, I know, and maybe the police will be able to get them out and deal with them harshly as they need to be. But they're people who are coming to live the lives that you and I have. They want the things that I possess. They want the things that you have. But many of them don't want to come and steal it. They're wanting an opportunity to earn it. I don't know what the answer is, but our church needs to seriously consider. You're not going to send 2 or 3 million people back home. We can forget that. It isn't happening. There's not enough airplanes, not enough buses, not enough trucks to take them back home. And they don't want to go back home. How will we make them a part of our society? And how will we love them as the stranger that sojourns in our land? I see the Israelites were people who had strange religion, strange way of worship, altogether different from what the other people had. They didn't have anything to worship. They had idols and stuff like that. They're still all around today. But God has made you a holy people, given you a holy liturgy, holy hymns that we can sing. And so that when the sojourner maybe will join us sometime, we share the gospel's love with that poor soul as we would love our neighbor. His neighbor. See, that's radical, isn't it? God calls us to radical living. Not thinking like we usually do. But holy people of God are to live and love unholy people. They're unholy. But God can use the sacrament of holy baptism, sacrament of the altar, the preaching of the gospel, the proclamation of his word, to bring those poor souls to the heavenly throne. It's the neighborly thing to do, and sometimes we forget that we don't want to do it because we have other agendas. I do too. We all do. That's our nature. So the gospel asks you this question, which we asked today: who is your neighbor? Who are your neighbors? The parable tells that this leader had come to Jesus. How can I inherit eternal life? Well, you know all the rules. Do all these things. Not steal. Not do all those things that Leviticus talks about. And the man said rightly, he says, I know all those things. I've been doing that all my life. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Sure, he knew all that. And then he said, love your neighbor as you do yourself. Well, how do you love your neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Well, this is the reason that I think our Lord gave us this passage today. To get us to thinking, who is our neighbor? How will we reach the gospel of Jesus Christ in love to the sojourner who is among us? It's so easy to walk around the other side, isn't it? We're people of God, you know. I'm a priest. Why? I don't want to get messed up with that. The guy's he's hurt. It's going to take some time to heal him. I got things to do. I got to get to church. And the members, they had to hurry on to church too. They didn't want to take time with this guy. But then what happens? Samaritans hated the Israelites. Hated the Jews, but the Jews hated the Samaritans all the more. They hated them. Can you imagine that? And the guy that you hate is the one who comes to his aid. That good Samaritan doesn't just look at him and say, man, it's a mess. He gets off his mule or donkey, whatever he's got. He gets down there and he gets in the ditch with that man and goes to work to heal him. Puts oil, cleans up his wounds, puts oil on them, whatever he needs, wine in order to kill the bacteria and all those kinds of things. The man was beaten and dying. You know who that is? That's you and that's me. We're in the ditch. Can't get ourselves out. We're sick. We're hurt. We're wounded. We got no resources anymore. It's all gone. So what happens? Who is the good Samaritan? It's Jesus. And Jesus comes to you and me in the worst times of our lives, when nothing is making sense. And the Lord is our good Samaritan. Not only does he take care of us now, but he sees to it we have a place to rest, a place to sleep, takes him to the inn or the place there he could stay, and he gives the innkeeper money to pay for you. You don't know you. In fact, if it was the other way around, you probably would try to kill the Samaritan. That's how we are. In fact, didn't God's people kill Jesus? Did they not put him on a cross? Did they not whip, beat unjustly an innocent man, sent him to the cross to die a horrible death? Jews don't die like that, and they sent him that way to die on the cross. But God has a plan, and that was not the end of the plan. God raised Jesus from the dead, showed himself among the many people during the time of the 40 days before he ascended into heaven. Jesus is still with us, but he didn't leave us without, first of all, leaving us his word and his sacraments. Lo, and he says, I'm with you always to the end of the world. So Peter had said, but as God has called you who is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Since it's written, you shall be holy, for I'm holy. It's quite remarkable, isn't it? That God chooses to love you and me. We're the sojourners. We're the ones who don't have any right to the heavenly kingdom at all. But he sees to it we have it. He gives it to us. He wants us to recognize also that we have neighbors around us who have the same kinds of things that happen to them that we happen to ourselves. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's hard to do, folks. And you can't do it. unless the Lord Jesus Christ gives you the faith to do those things. What happens when we fail? Oh boy, we're going to fail. So what happens? Well, we plead again for God's mercy. If He's the Lord our God who is holy, surely His holiness will give us the forgiveness of our sins. And that's true. He gives us our sins through the sacrifice of His own self, His Son, on the cross of Calvary. Now, this is not the end. Life in our world is coming to an end. I know I'm feeling my age more and more. I think every morning I wake up, I think, well, that's God's mercy for sure. I could have died last night. I've been fine. But the reality is, even when we do die, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to raise us from the dead. We can't raise ourselves. We can't live in the kingdom of heaven on our own. So the Lord Jesus does it for us. He resurrects our lifeless body and gives to us and all the saints eternal life. You said, I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the community of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. So, in conclusion, here it is. You shall be holy. You will be. You are holy. For I am the Lord your God, and I am holy. God's holiness makes you and me into holy people who live holy lives so that we can be holy in love toward our neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. We worship the Lord now with our offerings. We worship the Lord with our offerings. You may be seated. Oh, there they are. What am I thinking? You guys are faster than I am. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone. I trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. We pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father in heaven, we confess that we are apart from Christ. We will have no righteousness. Yet we rejoice that because your Son has died and risen for us, you promise that our righteousness exceeds even that of the scribes and Pharisees. And because we know the hope that you have laid up for us in heaven, let others see in us our confident faith, our holy lives in Lord Jesus Christ, and the caring love for those in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father in heaven, by your grace we've died to sin, yet sin continues to overpower us. We pray you will bless all of those who celebrate their baptismal birthdays among us, and fill in us with a repentant faith, and that knows that we have been buried with Christ through baptism into his death, and fill us with the Samaritan's joy in helping those in need, no matter what the cost to ourselves. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, as you grant the length of days to many in our families and communities, you bless us with their wisdom and grant us the opportunity to live out your love for them. Holy people, loving because we have a loving, holy God. Help us rightly to treasure them. And as they grow in weakness and need, deepen our trust in your strength to bear and the power to save. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father in heaven, as you have granted us to live in a nation where your people may still gather without fear, bless our leaders with your wisdom. Guard us from the rising ungodliness in our land, that your gospel may be preached boldly and continue to bear fruit and grow. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
Father in heaven, you have commanded that special attention and care to be paid for the fatherless and the widows. Abide with all who are lonely. Use us to visit the homebound and those in the care facilities who require ongoing care, especially those in hospice. We remember the folks in our prayer list. There's a number of them. Annie Mae, Pastor Scott and Judy, Sandra, Jan and Sheila, Robert, Alfred, Jeff, Cheryl, Zachariah, Megan, Dean, Barbara, Scott, Bob, Don and Donna, Robert and Donna, and the family of Nelson Meyer. There are many others that we know have needs, some that we know in our own heart that are not in the prayer list today. We remember them to you silently. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father in heaven, by your mercy, we are heirs of a great inheritance and stand among all the saints who have loved you and known the delight of your favor. Accept our thanksgiving for the faithful who have gone before us and bring us at last with them into your eternal presence in the marriage supper of the Lamb who knows no end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, you have been faithful to us who deserve none of your mercies. Lead us to receive them with grateful hearts and to be faithful unto death, that we may receive the crown of everlasting life. Hear us in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord, through whom and with whom and in whom be all honor and glory, both now and forever. Amen. We'll begin with the... We got a hymn, I'm sorry. 697.
Thank you.
The liturgy is printed for you. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting life, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Pray with me, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his people and said, "Drink of this, all of you, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Thank you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give to you always His peace. Hymn 850. You may be seated. For just a moment, I invite you to stay for the Bible class today. I'm starting Revelation. Just the last couple of weeks did a little introduction. We're going to get into it more today. I think you will love that book. I love it. Revelation. We'll find out. Are there announcements? Miss Maxine, thank you. Y'all got that? You got another announcement?
Just a quick note, anybody that hasn't done the congregational assessment, we got two people that haven't done it. Or if you need help with it, let one of the elders know and you can certainly help with that.
The good news about that is if you complete that, then it gives you an idea of where the congregation is going. You need to know that in order to know how to plan in the future. And that's what it's all about, planning in the future. Get you guys going in the right direction. Also, last Sunday was Pastor retirement. Chuler. My mind's not any good. I have to read everything or I can't do it. Anyway, Pastor Chuler. Now, that means there's going to be two vacancies, I know for sure, in your circuit. So you have to keep that in mind, too. That'll make it a little harder to get preachers to supply both their pulpit and this one, too, as well. So, but I think you've got me booked for a while. I don't know. Whatever. He's got me two more times, and then he can't stand me anymore. So by that time, we'll be all done. You mean she likes to talk?
She likes to know you're there while she's sleeping.
Oh, wow.
But she was taking hydrocodone for a while with the bath and all, and it was putting her sleep. But she seems to be in a good place. So we just looked, and I asked the doctor who was doing the procedure how she would come out of it, because we were told at one time it would make her stiff back, she wouldn't make it bend and all of this, but couldn't do anymore.
Whoa! I struck it rich today, didn't I?
We're having apple pie. I talked to Sheila yesterday, and Jan didn't read her school day. And she was going to others. She was going to prayer. And of course, she's still having to work. And she's having surgery August 2nd, I think. And they have recommended that maybe Jan go into a nursing home or a hospital or something.
Well, I can't hardly stand all this. This is too much fun. Too much fun for my heart. Well, y'all go home.